Good afternoon and welcome back. We are now on the fifth chapter of project management. Now, again, one more important chapter. Reason why? Because we discussed a lot about how ideas are generated and how we talk on ideas and how what are the different methods that we can generate ideas. But this chapter becomes more important again. The core purpose being, I have great ideas, but I do not implement them or I do not convert them into business projects. It's not going to make sense. People are going to love your ideas, but at the end of the day, if you don't convert them into revenues or business projects, it's not going to make sense to anybody, neither you for that matter. So important is that we create and implement and convert our ideas into business projects. And that's exactly what we're going to learn today in this chapter. So this actually takes us to the understanding where we're talking about transformation of business ideas into projects. Now, why is it important? Let's have a look at this. A learning objective is going to be till the time we discuss and learn about the human needs and we've actually spoken about business wants and how it's demanding the ideas, the various methods of generating ideas. This is the first step of project management. That's basically converting or transforming your ideas into business projects or business ideas into projects or whatever you call it as. And the first thing that you require if you really would want to know whether your idea is implementable is to have a feasibility report. Now, this from project management point of view is also called as project charter. In this parlance, we will call it as a feasibility report. Now, what do we mean by a feasibility report? Ideally, a feasibility report is a report which signifies or which tells the stakeholders. Now, in this term, stakeholders will be everybody who's interested directly or not directly or indirectly into my project. So those are stakeholders. And my feasibility report has to incorporate everything that I feel is important of the project and how it's going to be important to the organization that I'm working with. Now, feasibility report has lot of parameters. We're going to discuss that in this chapter, of course. However, one of the most integral, and I've been saying this right from chapter one, that your stakeholders being the prime importance of your project, feasibility report is a sanctioned letter. If your feasibility report is passed, which means your project can go live. So if I fail at feasibility report, my project or my idea will never get converted into a business plan. So it's important, my friends, that we have a strong feasibility report for which my brainstorming has to be strong, my market research has to be strong, my focus group discussion has to be strong, and all the things that we discussed in the previous chapter of idea generation have to be strong. This will create a strong feasibility report. So to read out through what we're learning, our endeavor in this chapter is to get ourselves acquainted to the process of transformation of business ideas into projects. Feasibility of a business idea. The first aspect of it is, of course, defining the section of the users, which means who is the target audience. I mean, where am I making this and who will be the audience? So let's look at this. If I'm making, a Bonvita, all right, I have to create a new product, a milkshake or a shake or an energy drink, and Cadbury is coming out with Bonvita. Now, Bonvita now has come up with something called as Bonvita for women or Complan for women, right? Now, who is the target audience? The target audience is ideally the working women. Now, that's the target audience. And I have to set this target audience right at the front, I mean, right at the first level of my project. And that becomes my first aspect of my feasibility report. Who is the target audience? Why am I doing it? Very, very important question, because unless I define why am I doing it, who's going to be my target audience and how it's going to help them, my feasibility report does not stand strong. So that's one aspect that I need to realize of my feasibility report, that I need to define right at the beginning of who is my target audience. My second aspect of feasibility report is its uniqueness. Who all has already implemented it? How well it's been implemented in different parts of the world? Is it unique? Is it, and what's the idea that it is unique in? So ideally, five questions help you. Why, what, how, where, who will help you to define its uniqueness. So whether it's unique in terms of its build-up, whether it's unique in terms of its packaging, whether it's unique in terms of its delivery mechanism, whether it's unique in terms of its cost, whether it's unique in terms, you've got to find out the uniqueness. Why? Because those become the USPs of that product, the unique selling propositions of that product. So that gives me a competitive edge at the end of the day. If I don't have a competitive edge, my product or my service is not going to fetch me those kind of revenues that I'm looking, or the organization is looking for that matter. So the second point that I got to remember very, very critically is uniqueness of my product or service that I'm offering in terms of my project. The third thing is investment to output ratio. So it's a very simple thing, isn't it? I can't invest 1 rupee for a project which is going to give me 50 paises, or I can't invest $1 which is going to give me 50 cents. So it just doesn't make sense. So to implement an idea, it is crucial that I completely understand how much is my investments and what's my output ratio. So it could be in two terms. One, it's a one-time output, which means I invest one rupee, I'm going to get one time 2 rupees. Or I'm going to invest 1 rupee and I'm going to get 10 paise or 10 cents every 1 month, which means over a period of 3 years, I'm going to get X amount. So I have got to upfrontly put 1 rupee into that project. I'm going to get, you know, the payments to me into a format of say every month, or I'm going to get upfront payment around it. So what's my investment ratio, investment to my output ratio? Third integral thing. So I'm repeating it for you. The first integral thing being defining the user. So I need to know who's going to use it. I need to know why is it unique. I need to know how much I need to put in the money, and of course, how much am I going to get out of it, and of course, the expected results, either in terms of quantification, either in terms of quality, either in terms of time, either in terms of money. So expected returns in terms of business volume or profits or short-term and long-term, and extremely important to decide a feasibility report getting converted into a project. So if I do not have a strong in expected returns, or at least a good expected returns around it, my stakeholders will not sanction my project, or my feasibility report does, or my business idea does not get converted into a project. Now that's an important aspect to look at from a idea point of view. So the fourth becomes expected returns. The fifth becomes the time or the duration to implement this idea. Now, I have a great idea, but it's going to take 10 years to implement. Now, in the fast-moving world or in the sector that you might tomorrow work in, 10 years is not a window that people might look at. So you need to have an appropriate time. So if you're working in a service sector, or if you're working in an IT industry, and if you say, I'm going to take 10 years to implement an idea, boy, I don't know how many of your projects or ideas are going to get implemented. But if you're in an oil and gas company, and you're talking about that, I'm going to implement this in say, 6 days or 10 days or 15 days or a month, I don't know how many of them are going to accept that, because oil and gas will require a lot of research and studies, while a service industry will have a consumer improvement processes or products. So hence, we need to understand which sector am I working in and what is the timeline that I'm also adhering to it. Appropriate timelines should never be missed, because they can actually close the market windows, which means it might just take away that quick niche that I have, and somebody might replicate it immediately. So I have to be very accurate about the time duration that I'm talking about. The last on the slide is about life cycle of an idea. So, which talks about the window of opportunity. Is it very, very long? Does it have any future investments? Is the idea a long term or a short term? So, a lot of other things that we start considering in this in the life cycle of the idea. The next becomes my threat or my risk, or can I anticipate that risk? Can I mitigate that risk? In the earlier chapters, when we was talking about managing a little risk, we spoke about either I can transfer the risk, and I gave you an example of the telecom companies, what they did in recent past in India, and how they transferred their risk. So risk can be defined in three terms. One, I anticipate a risk. I know that this is a risk in the business, and I'm okay to take that, or in a project. I know that these are environmental risks. I mean, there's a cyclone, and I'm running a windmill project. It's a risk that I'm anyways taking. So, the next could be I can transfer. So, if I know how this is the risk, and I need to have an expert around it, and I can transfer that risk to those experts, or I can mitigate. I need to have processes set in place, systems in place, which I can mitigate that risk. So, I need to have the threats or the risk that are anticipated for the project that, or for the idea that I'm generating right now, in your feasibility report. So if you have that feasibility report, if you have the risk that has been written down in the feasibility report, it becomes easy for my stakeholders to realize how implementable is the idea. So changing needs of the users, government statutory rules or regulations, competitors' plans. You know, you come out with something and immediately competitor comes out with something. So you need to assess that risk, and every time I come out with an idea, that's the correct way of doing it. You got to first go ahead and assess the risk of that idea. So feasibility duration time, study duration. This is about boosting your self-confidence. If you are very, very sure about what you're going to do in this idea, and how you're going to convert this into a project, it then is leaving you with a greater confidence in front of your stakeholders that you can execute this project the way you've decided. So that's a report that, you know, gets created. A feasibility report is a report, a hard copy or a soft copy report that gets created, which sets the base premise of converting your idea into a project. Interpretation of a feasibility rating. There are general guidelines. Any ideas for which feasibility rating? About 90% is implemented with minimal risk. I mean, these are standards. These are standards that any organization tomorrow will look at. Ideally, every organization will have different standards of assessing the feasibility report. So anything about 90%, is of course with a minimal risk, and they will do it. 80 to 90% is an average risk attention while implementing it. Any rating between below 70 to 80 will have a high risk business idea implementation and will be completely based on risk calculation. So whatever is that 30% risk that you're taking, that will be calculated, which can be what is the risk within that can be mitigated, what is the risk that can be actually transferred, what is the risk that you have to anticipate and you accept it, and those onwards. Advisory is less than 70% of chances of the idea getting implemented. Generally, the stakeholders don't accept these ideas. Tomorrow, if you want to start up some new thing or you go to some venture capitalist, it will not. Those will not help you get your idea converted into a project or a business. So important is when I create my feasibility report, I need to assess it, put it into percentile, very crisp and clear. If you try to hide that, somebody's going to find that. At the moment somebody else finds it out for you, trust you me, they're not going to trust you as the idea generator. So be very, very honest while you preparing your feasibility report, because this report has the gives the confidence to the stakeholders that the person who's implementing this project does have everything or all the wherewithal of how do you actually implement this project. Also consider these organizational environmental factors, generally from PMP or PM Bouquet, which is Project Management Book of Knowledge. It's called as the organizational environmental factors, which could be the relationships that you have with your stakeholders. It could also be the processes that are already set up with your organization. It also could be the products that are already there and you can't contradict the products that are already there. Confidence is an important ingredient of success, and I've been talking that very honestly in this video series with you. that unless you have confidence of implementing the project, and hence I said that your stakeholders play a very, very important role in what you're actually doing. So creativity, innovation, these will help entrepreneurs to beat the competition, while business training will influence and pursue business ideas, will help you. So you've got to remember that every time when I'm trying to get my idea converted into a project, it's important that I manage my stakeholders well. I do complete research of what I'm going to talk about. I have complete understanding of how this project will move at various levels and various stages, which we also call them as phases. So it gives confidence to me as a project manager or the idea generator, and also to the people who are involved into it, who are going to put in different stakes, whether it's kind of term, time, delivery, money, everything. So stakeholders do not, if they don't get confidence on you, trust you, me, your project either can, they might start but they'll not end, or you might start but not get the desired results, or you start off with something amazingly, however it fizzes out in middle and the stakeholders lose interest. So that these enhance your visibility report becomes very, very important. Some other factors that you can also consider is, of course, a process of converting an entrepreneur's creativity into an opportunity. So I have been giving this information to you right now, that unless your feasibility report is that robust, you will have a little difficulty in giving your ideas out to the world around you. So be a good communicator, be a very, very confident communicator. Put that complete information into black and white. If you put that complete information into your black and white, you will find that you're generating results which you never ever generated in past. So quick tips around this is, one, while you create a feasibility report, understand who's your target audience, understand what is the time duration, understand the risk around it, create a strong black and white report around it, manage your stakeholders well, be very, very confident of what you're doing. And of course, important is, don't let the idea, the seed of that idea go waste, because if you do not implement it, no big idea is going to give you any result. You've got to implement that idea and create a strong project around it. Modeling business ideas into projects. So with an approach of elaborated ones, it is concluded that the business idea is feasible. For next obvious step is to prepare business plan in a light of project definition and philosophy, which we have assimilated in the last few chapters. So let's look at this. Prime project requirement consideration for a business plan. So what do you require for a business plan? You need to answer. I mean, I keep saying this to everybody that I meet, that You got to answer integral questions. So what are that integral question? You need to answer why. You need to answer how. You need to answer what. You need to answer who. You need to answer when and where. These integral questions, every time you keep answering these questions, you will have a strong business plan. So a few things that I can immediately tell you is, of course, project is one time, temporary endeavor. Don't forget this. You need to have a deadline. So you need to have your timelines, and exactly why this is how you answer the when part of it. Project is undertaken to create a unique product, service or a result. Now this gives you the target audience and the revenues also, which means the uniqueness will tell people how much money, how much revenue, or what is the cause or why do you are doing this project. Now that answers the why of it. Project has a definite start and the end, which means it's a temporary endeavor, so it's going to end and start, or start and end. Project needs to an organized team to execute, which means who all is going to be involved into it. So it's important that I have a strong team to execute my ideas or plans. Project needs a finance allocation, so somebody has to pay for it, isn't it? Or you have to fund it. So if money is involved, you need to be crystal clear about who is going to do what job and at what level, so that your finance are intact and you don't overshoot the budgets for the project. And project has uncertainties and deviations are likely, so you need to anticipate the risk. So one, have a great idea, have a strong feasibility report. Your business plan needs to have who's going to do it, how it's going to be implemented, when it's going to implement it, where it's going to be implemented, like the site or the project or the office, all right, and why. Very, very important why. Your how will come post your why. So if you want me to give you the mechanism of questions that you could ask, the first one being, of course, why, the second one being how, the third one being what, the fourth one being where, then when, and who. So these become your integral questions of creating a business plan, and this will give you the first level of your business plan. Now, that takes us to the important aspects of business plans. As I spoke about, one-time endeavors, so you're going to completely understand and create a document around it, which talks about how this is going to help the end consumer or the people who are going to get affected by the project. Unique output, and what is the service, what is the facility, what is the infrastructure, what is the equipment, what is the system that you're creating through this project becomes an important thing. Try creating as clear as possible of the uniqueness. Why? Because if you don't create a clear, unique proposition, it's going to be an ambiguous situation. The moment it gets into an ambiguous situation, non-clarity at this stage of your project might just lead you to just fizz that project out. So it's important that you have a clear uniqueness of the project. Start date and end date, this gives a lot of confidence to the stakeholders, because if I don't know when it's going to happen and where it's going to happen, I don't know why should I do it. So like lot of our literature, including Bible or Quran or Bhagavad Gita, all of them say that a person who doesn't know where to go any road is okay. Now, when we say this, it's important that I have a start and an end date to whatever I do. So hence, this will help me to monitor and measure my efforts, my time, my money. And every time I have a strong start and an end date or an end point, it will tell me whether I'm going on the right path or no. So unless I constantly know whether I'm going on the right path or I'm not going on the right path, it's not going to help me in my project. So essentially, you need to know a start and the end. Organize teams to execute it at different levels. If I'm a CEO, I might require general managers or executives and senior executives. So I need to form a correct team. Why? Correct teams would be based on the competencies that are required or the skills that are required to execute the project. So every time you have people who understand your thought process, who understand or dream, that's the right word, if are dreaming like you on that project, you've actually crossed the halfway. A strong team can deliver impossible results, and I'm a true believer of a team, and I firmly believe if I have a strong team, impossible tasks can be done completely well. A strong team can actually go out and create projects or create products that you don't imagine. We've got immense history that's proved my statement right now correct, that a lot of people without resources, without money, without a lot of other things, have been able to complete things that feasibly we would say, oh, it's not practical. But a strong team can do that, and we've got ample amount of examples around it, whether it's Indian cricket team, or whether it's the powered man flight that I keep talking about, or whether it's about the South Korean companies called POSCO Steel. After the Second World War, South Korea was completely demolished, but this team of unqualified people actually built the entire steel industry in South Korea today that we see. Let's look at the uncertainties and deviations. Plan that. Whatever is possible, plan your risk. Understand that you're going to get into a risk, mitigate it, transfer it, or accept it. But that will help you to understand your project well. And while the entire philosophy around this is begin with the end in mind. That's the right statement that I can give you on the stage. Let's look at finance allocation. Now, a lot of chances that you've been funded by your organization, or a lot of chances that you're doing a self-funding also. So once you know, once people trust you with money, once they've given you that money to execute, how can be a fund allocation done? It could be a one lump sum payment, or it could be staggered into phases for you. So when I say staggered into phases, it says, say, let's assume the current NHRD project, that's apologies for that, the current National Skill Development Program, NSDC, that's going for Government of India. A lot of people are working on developing skills in India. So in this project, what government has said is, we're going to give you say 1 crore rupees if you train 50 people, or let us take an easy example, 1 crore rupees for 100 people, and these 100 people to be trained in next 2 years, and every 3 months, if you're able to give us a report that, okay, there are 5 subjects that you are trained on, and you give us a certificate and the attendance, we're going to give you 20% of the payments of 1 crore rupees. So similarly, you've been funded for the first 3 months. So every 3 months you get funded. So that's a fund allocation process that's done for NSDC, the National Skills Development Corporation. That's the current government policy or government project that's running around in government of India. So with this example, if you look at it, finance allocation becomes one of the most integral part. Why? Because if your stakeholders stop your funds, your project is dying. All right, because we all know that it requires human beings, which is a team. It requires money and it requires time. So integral finance allocation, again, to be understood very, very clearly. How much money do I want it? When do I want it? Who are the stakeholders who are going to sanction my funds? I need to have all the clarity during my feasibility report. Final closeout and actions. This is something that I need to have my terms and conditions very, very clearly mentioned of when am I going to hand over this project, at what stage. Why is it important to tell people? Is because the expectation setting is done clearly, which is final closeout and actions. I say let's look at this. In the similar example that I gave you on NSDC, the NSDC part is saying, okay, 100 people to be trained in say 1 year. So I got to post the 12th month, I got to create a report. The report could be in any format, it could be an audio, video, or a text format. And I got to send this report to NSDC to get the last final payments of 20%. Could be a possible. That's an example. So that will have a clear-cut demarcation. Now, NSDC would, on the other hand, will have a clear-cut proposition and a policy that unless a vendor does all these things, he's not going to get these 20% of payment that's pending. So that's how a commercial settlement is done. It is very important for a formal closing declaration of a project, and also maybe prime requirement to settle the commercial terms. Now, that's exactly how a final closeout is being done. This takes us to the last slide of this chapter, my friends. It's the typical business plan. So what does it mean? It needs to be precise. It has to be accurate. It should be measured. It should be structured business plan. And above all, it should have a complete feasibility according to revenues. Now, we shall travel to the various stages of a project management and how it is done. All the 5 stages is what we generally call it as in the next chapters. The typical business plan will include the details, references that I have given you right now. But a greater way of doing it is also doing a good breakdown analysis or a break-even analysis, or also a SWOT, which is called as a strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and strength and threats, opportunities. Okay, so a typical business plan will always include references of the business aspects that we've just spoken in this chapter, the policies, the administratives, the guidelines, the break-even plans, the breakdown structure of how people would work and execute in different aspects, and of course the SWOT. SWOT, ideally, I'm sure you know, SWOT is about your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats. And operating methodology, and a complete detail should be covered approximately in 25 to 30 pages. And that gives a strong business plan to my stakeholders to sanction my project. And my friends, the next stage is going to be more from an execution and planning of your project. Stay tuned and you're going to enjoy this entire session with me. See you in the next chapter. Thank you.